This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, November 7th. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening. Across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Are we ready to move Election Day away from Tuesday? Because it's only Thursday and a lot of us would really like the work week to be over with already. There's been no shortages of proposals to make Election Day more convenient for folks. And that includes like voting over an entire weekend rather than during the work week. Other places just vote entirely by mail. Do we need to do something different with how we're doing elections? I'd love to hear your ideas on that. You can call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, or you can put a comment on the Facebook page for Civic Media or the Facebook page for Up North News or the Up North News YouTube page. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on how do we fix elections and make them work for us. And I'm not talking about the result. That's an entirely different conversation that we will continue in fits and spurts through the morning here, including with our friend Joe Zepecki, and get his take on how he would interpret the results, and what is the path forward from here. Greg Bach is at Radio Park in Racine and playing with all kinds of microphones and switches and dials after our 2 days away in Madison. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
Okay. It's funny, when I got back here late yesterday and I had to pre-record an interview, and I'm busy trying to put everything back together here, my mic and mic stand and all the other dials and lights, and get it all on the computer. And then, you know, you, of course, have to come back to a radio studio in Radio Park in Racine that no doubt has been used by others. And it's always fun to put things back together. There's a red stapler missing somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, it was like the thing is like you're gone for 2 days and you come back, you're like, What happened? Did everything change? Where did I put anything?
Yeah. Well, you had all the different inputs, the way that we set up the signal versus the StreamYard video feed. Plus, we were using a studio in Madison that was also used for video.
Yeah.
So you had all the camera inputs and outputs and the lighting and everything else. It was an experience. I mean, a good experience. Always good to see all the Civic Media folks. But still, again, I'm ready to get back to some kind of a normal life here. I know that's adorable, isn't it? Yeah, we should be seeing the first state Supreme Court commercials real soon here.
That's right.
Okay. God. Maybe not right away, but yeah. The spring election is on April 1st. And so, you know, you consider yourself warned.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's see. We mentioned that Joe Zepecki is coming up. Also along the way today, we're going to talk to our friends Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. This was a tough one for them as well, getting so many more moms involved, getting so many busy parents to pay attention to politics. And we have seen so much progress since the Dobbs decision in reasserting, you know, women's healthcare rights. And then it all hit a brick wall on Tuesday for reasons, again, we're all still talking about and trying to figure out. But here's the thing. Democracy, American government, is never a one-day thing. And there's progress, and there are setbacks, and there are people who need us. And they're going to talk a bit about, you know, the people who are still going to need a voice. They're still going to need advocates. They're still going to need to stand up for others when it comes to women's health care rights and also all the other things that, you know, are busy with, that keep moms busy, from health care to finances to you name it. Politics still matters, even when things don't go the way that you want them to go. And so we'll talk to Kate and Nicole about that. We'll visit with Luke Mathers, find out what exactly we can do on civic media now that we don't have an election to talk about anymore. And the short answer is there's a lot. There's a lot of programs, especially on the weekends, that go into other areas that are worth listening to and talking about. And so we'll talk about that with Luke. We'll get Brittany Merlot's forecast as well. Before we get back into the election and politics and everything, let's do a little bit of sports after catching up after a couple of days here. Now, this is a bye week both for the Green Bay Packers and for the Wisconsin Badger football team. So there's actually not much to talk about for football. I'll tell you about some basketball. Well, let's do that right now. Badger basketball is, I want to say, where'd it go? Where did it go? Oh, you get your cursor right over it. There you go, buddy. Badger basketball, they take on Montana State tonight. 6 o'clock coverage begins on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, and the Civic Media app, where you can hear Badger action as well. I mentioned the Gophers because there is a Badger men's hockey. They are hosting the Minnesota Gophers Friday at 6:30 and Saturday at 5:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, which you can catch on the app. You can also, of course, catch high school sports on the Civic Media app as well. There's a lot of baseball news because now with the World Series behind us, we're in the hot stove league where players are being re-signed or released, free agency, arbitration, all of that is happening. And the first step in that is for the team, in this case the Milwaukee Brewers, if there are options on contracts, to say, okay, we're going to pick up that option and we'll do this for another year. Or they decline the option and either they renegotiate something or the player becomes a free agent. So let's go through, these are some of the several transactions the Milwaukee Brewers have made this week. Bottom line is, once again, next year, we're going to have to learn some new names. Now, Willy Adames may or may not be one of them. Brewers have extended an offer to the shortstop. He has until November 19th to decide whether to take an offer of $21 million for 1 year or hit the free agent market for the first time in his career. So it's quite likely, since he's coming off a career year, that he will decline the Brewers' offer and enter free agency. Pitcher Frankie Montas was also offered $20 million but declined in order to become a free agent. The Brewers declined to make an offer to pitcher Colin Ray, so he becomes a free agent. The Brewers have declined to make offers to Jake Bowers and Bryce Wilson. The Brewers did pick up the option on pitcher Freddie Peralta, but they declined options on Devin Williams and Eric Haas, and the team will go to arbitration with both of those players. So there's a lot of work to be done by general manager Matt Arnold, but he gets to do it with a little more respect from his peers because Matt Arnold was named by his peers as Major League Baseball's Executive of the Year. So congrats to him, and I believe we're still waiting on the American and National League Manager of the Year, which I'm actually going to look up right now here because I didn't want to miss that. Nope, it's all about Matt Arnold so far is what's coming up. There will be some dates coming up for more awards as well. We did have some Gold Glove Award winners. The Silver Slugger Award comes out next week. Rookies of the Year, Manager of the Year will be named on November 19th. and then the MVP on November 21st. So there, that's pretty much all the off-season action to tell you about in baseball at this point. Up North News has a daily newsletter. You can sign up for it at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts that together, and I really appreciated what she had to say yesterday about coming off the election results and moving forward. Christina noted that she has been doing the newsletter here for just about 2.5 years. Up North News is just about 5 years old. We started on New Year's Day of 2020, and I wrote the newsletter for the first 2.5 years. And then when the opportunity to do this radio show came up, I started to phase things out and hand it over to Christina. And she noted that one of her first actions was to start each newsletter with a positive story. And I appreciated that. Obviously, mine was much more politics focused, as you can imagine. And she saw the value in always leading off with some good news. And she continues that to this day, along with other Wisconsin features and some of the news of the day as well. So in today's edition, she provides a little bit of history on the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and how it wasn't supposed to belong to Michigan. It was supposed to be part of Wisconsin. But there was something called the Toledo War. There was this almost literal battle between Michigan and Ohio over a strip of land down along the bottom of the Michigan border there with Ohio. Where was that line specifically supposed to be? And you can read the details, but long story short is that the border was adjusted so that Ohio got some of that extra land. And in return, Michigan was given the upper peninsula of what we now know as Wisconsin. And is that right? Should it at some point revert back to Wisconsin? Does Wisconsin want it? Do those folks want to be their own state and their own little special no man's land up there where some of them root for the Lions and some of them root for the Packers? So you can catch that story and much more in our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. And I am pretty sure you'll find there still some of our election recap stories. There's my story that has an overall recap of the 2024 elections, including, you know, the bottom line here in Wisconsin is that while the state went for Donald Trump, the state also went for Tammy Baldwin. And because of the new maps that are no longer rigged, Republicans do have a majority still in the Assembly and Senate, but it's much more representative, pun intended, of Wisconsin itself. That we are a closely divided state, as we figured out, and now the Senate and Assembly don't have such lopsided majorities anymore. So hopefully the members there can do a little bit more talking, compromising, and getting things done. Let's pause here and unpack more of the news next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I was a middle school teacher and Gender and Sexuality Alliance advisor. As I walked into the school building the morning after the 2016 election, recall when Trump was first elected, a student who I did not know very well called out to me and said, Ms. Sweats, are you going to stay? He was asking if I was going to stay in the country. I answered yes, and then I added, because we have work to do. On that morning 8 years ago, I meant that the future of our country was up to us now. It is today, too, and thank goodness for that, because we have each other, and because we can, and we will, do the work. It's as simple as that. We have to be working together, those of us who believe that the results of the election are going to take us in a bad direction, have to use our power where we can. Now, that power does not lie in the White House come January 20th, and there may not be bills that can pass with Republicans controlling the U.S. Senate. The U.S. House is still up for debate. The Supreme Court, things don't look real good there, but there's a lot, as we've learned over the years, that can be stymied and bottled up in court for a while. Just look at all of Donald Trump's criminal cases. The only reason he was even able to stand for election is because he was able to stymie cases and delay cases and prevent things from happening. When you've done as many things wrong and borderline criminal as Trump has, you learn how to work the system. And he did. And as a result, now he's going to escape accountability. But it also is a lesson for the rest of us that there may be things that getting a judge to issue something like, you know, an injunction against, I don't know, mass deportation might be something that is staved off, or other issues that would affect other people in such a way that it would harm them through, you know, bullying or government sanctioned discrimination. So, you know, we have a text on the line that says, we have no power. In an election with 150 million votes cast, the guy with 70 million was declared the winner. And that's true. And there are still people scratching their heads about the turnout and how many folks ended up voting for Trump. But the matter of fact is, that's what we have right now, is that enough of voters around the country wanted to go in this particular direction. And again, I'm trying very hard not to just rehash a lot of the reasons. We'll talk a little bit about it with Joe Zepecki. But my message is about, you know, moving forward on this. And without certain levers of power, still being an ally for folks who are in vulnerable populations. As I said yesterday, I'll be all right. You know, I'm a comfortable late middle-aged white guy who came from very humble beginnings, but studied hard, worked hard, and I'll do all right. I'll probably be okay. Maybe. I mean, Trump talks all the time about jailing journalists and taking away broadcast licenses. And, you know, I'm sure that there will be efforts to intimidate political opponents at this point. But by and large, I'm going to be okay. I have a voice. You all have a voice out there. And that voice may have to be used more often in person when you may have, a bigoted employer who is treating somebody particularly harshly and being an ally for that person, or, you know, a bunch of other scenarios. We don't lack for ways to stand together. Sometimes that's done through a union, and sometimes it works, and sometimes corporate power can outlast that. Now, it wasn't that long ago that there was a 7-week strike at the Leinenkugel Brewing Company. And it has since been settled, but now came the news yesterday that Molson Coors is going to shut down the Leinenkugel Brewery, a landmark here in Chippewa Falls, and a mainstay of the local economy. And that, you know, at least 50 people or so are going to lose their jobs as a result. But the reason for that strike was that some older workers there did the strike in order to win some concessions that would benefit the younger workers. They were looking out for the next generation. Now, in this case, corporate power is impacting their immediate future, but they stood on principle and probably helped workers down the line to benefit. We'll talk more about that later, but first, Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
On this Thursday. Nice to be back home. Joe, how are things for you right now?
They're okay. You know, and I think that's the best that anybody can be right now. It's okay, with the exception of my friends on the other side who voted for Donald Trump and. I bet they're feeling a little better than I am. I'm doing okay. I'm mostly concerned with a lot of people that I really care about, and trying to make sure that that all those folks know that there's people who have their back and support them, and really trying to reflect on where we are, how we got here, and where we go from here, while also celebrating some of the really positive things that ended up coming out of the election, like the fact that Tammy Baldwin is going back to the United States Senate for another 6 years. I'm telling you, folks, first ballot Hall of Famer, throw her on the Wisconsin Mount Rushmore for politicos alongside, I think my four would be Tammy, Tommy, Fightin' Bob, and Gaylord Nelson. How about yours, Pat?
Ooh, oh, I didn't know we were doing that game today.
It's a good four, right?
Wow. Obviously, if Mount Rushmore were located more up north, Dave Obie would be one of those faces instead, although he'd also be the first to defer to some of the others here. So, which, by the way, a quick aside, as I was walking past the state capitol yesterday, I saw for the first time in person myself the new statue of Val Phillips and took a picture of that with the capitol behind her. Again, we won't take a lot of time here, but please, if you're not familiar with Val Phillips, read up on her.
A remarkable, remarkable woman.
Yes, I felt very blessed to talk to her once near the end of her time with us here. But all right, well, let's get back to the circumstances at hand. And let me put it this way, and forgive me, I'm going to toss this up super vague, but you get to do whatever you like with it. Knowing the results nationally, where is the country right now?
Yeah, I don't even think it's just that it's right now. I think if you try to zoom out even further than that, and not just here in the United States, but around the world, we are in a moment of global turmoil. Those periods happen from time to time. And, where you want to start that turmoil, right? Whether it's the Great Recession of 2009, whether it's the terrorist attacks of 9/11 in 2001, it certainly started, in my view, before the global pandemic that killed 1 million Americans. But these are unusual, interesting, terrible times. And our politics, not surprisingly, are kind of swinging back and forth and snapping to and fro and ebbing and flowing a little bit more than usual. It is hard for people of my generation, and I bet even of yours, to remember just how many things you could take for granted in the second half of the 20th century when it came to our politics and control of legislative bodies like the Congress, and how jaw-droppingly crazy it was when Republicans finally took control of Congress in 1994, because it had been so long since there was that kind of shift. And so the fact that we are in this really dynamic, turbulent era of American politics in terms of one party has the presidency and a trifecta, and then the other party comes back and it's not a trifecta, it's mixed government. And then the other party, and they all flip the other way, back and forth and back and forth and round we go. Some of that is, I think, beyond the forces of any one campaign or one candidate, and others of it have to do with the fact that our global information environment and the way that we consume media and sort of the hacking of the American mind, or the human mind, that we know so much about how to get people into silos and how to get them their daily dopamine hits, has all sort of come together in a stew that is leading to some outcomes that are very, very hard to square simply and logically. It is hard to simply and logically square the American people, as good as they are, looking at a 34 times convicted felon, adjudicated rapist, standing trial in other cases, including for trying to overturn an American election, who was impeached multiple times, and who uses the kind of language that Donald Trump uses and has comported himself in the way that he has, and look at that and go, yeah, more of that. That's hard to square. And so we have to consider all things, ranging from a disconnect between the economy of the moment, the sort of macroeconomic realities of our United States economy compared to the perceptions of same, and a very unpopular incumbent president of one party. And beyond that, I don't think we should just think small and look at one thing or the other. I think it was kind of a lot of things, and there are a lot of things going on. That's the human condition, I suppose.
I guess, but I am still left with, and folks who listen regularly will start to wonder, wait, is this a rerun from a show from a year or ago or so, when we talked about all of the policies from the first 2 years of Biden's term, mm-hmm. and all the benefits it is starting to pay and continue to pay. And the discussion we were having a year ago and more was, why aren't Democrats doing more to tout those accomplishments? Because you have them there. Now it's basically you're gifting Donald Trump this great economy. But again, because it takes a while for these dividends to pay off, we're just repeating that old cycle where Democrats are passing good policy that fix things, and then after Republicans break things, Democrats have to come in and fix them. They're tagged as tax and spenders, and then the Republicans come back in. The deja vu is outstanding, and to me, the cycle to break it, Joe, is for Democrats to do a better job of saying, here's what this means to you. It doesn't mean the price of milk went down today, but here's what it's going to do, and I just don't think there was enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And it's really, really hard. If it was easy, we'd do it.
Right.
And our folks still have shame, which means we're not going to do the Donald Trump two-step, where he just spent, 2 years talking down the American people and the American economy. And guess what, folks? Spoiler alert. By January 21st of 2025, everything's going to be fine. America's going to be great again. He's going to come out and say, boy, what a great economy. Oh, this is wonderful. The best economy we've ever had. And we're all going to know it's BS, but that's not going to stop him from saying it. And so, it's not a fair fight. It doesn't have to be a fair fight. We didn't write the rules, but we're trying to both play by them and be able to look our kids in the eye and look ourselves in the mirror every morning. And that's a tilted playing field, but it's the one we've got. And so I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I also could make an argument to you that actually what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris should have done after passing a landmark rescue plan that started the repair of the American economy and cut in half child poverty, that they should have never tried to take a moment's credit for it and just continued to hammer and say, that was just a down payment. We're just getting started. Everything's awful. We feel you. We hear you. And we're trying to do more, but these damn Republicans are standing in the way. Those damn millionaires and billionaires are standing in the way. And that might have worked a lot better, but you know full well, that's not who Joe Biden is.
No, he's not. And so when people go, was Joe Biden a bad incumbent, an unpopular incumbent, in part, like you're saying, because he actually isn't shameless and right. did things that people of his generation would do, which would be accomplish things with good policy, with honor, and not play the games. But Donald Trump plays the games that people like now in our info politics entertainment era, and it worked. Because here's the thing, Joe. One of the things I kept hearing from the punditry was Democrats are no longer the party of the working man or the working woman or the working family. Democrats are now the party of the college elite. They're educated elite. They're no longer the party of the factory floor. They're the party of the factory lounge or the faculty lounge.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a bunch of garbage. Again, to me, this is a lot of messaging. There's so much that Democrats did for working folks compared to Republicans and their tax cuts for the rich. But Democrats, again, allowed themselves to get framed.
Well, listen, I would love to talk communications theory. And many of your listeners, if they know me through any other means than this wonderful program, they've probably heard me talking about communications theory. I think we oversimplify when we reduce it to messaging. Because that's not the only part of communicating. The messengers matter and the mediums matter. It is one thing for you or I, you know, middle class, upper middle class, white guys with college degrees saying some of these things. And it's another thing entirely when it is somebody who was a building trades union member to come out and say them. And people hear the same thing from different messengers very differently. It also matters how, where, and when you deliver that, you know, through the whatever medium, whether it's a radio show or a podcast or an op-ed or a conversation on somebody's doorstep. And so I just think if we're going to talk about the communications of it, let's talk about all of it, because that's part of what we have to do. And the fourth component to it is like the message, the messengers, the mediums. And to me, it's the masses out there. Mm-hmm. You can't. And I'm not suggesting that Kamala Harris has done this, or I think Democrats have gotten a lot better at this, but who are you talking to? Who are you trying to talk to? And are you talking about the same stuff in front of everybody, or are you trying to micro-target, which I think was a fad that we sort of got too cute by half with earlier in the 21st century, and now I think we try to do a better job about, we talk about freedom, we talk about freedom all the time, like Kamala Harris just did.
Yeah, because we get, again, identity politics is the label for it, which a lot of people like to dismiss or diminish. And in my mind, it's like actually finally talking to certain groups that are underrepresented and giving them, you know, a little bit of respect and a little bit of your attention. But we'll have to save that for another time, because we've got time for one more topic, and it's going to be on a much more positive note. The bright silver lining out of this is the new maps.
Again, the fairer maps worked.
Again, it didn't give Democrats everything they wanted. It simply made the representation more representative of what Wisconsin looks like. I know it's too soon to tell, but do we think there's a legislature that's going to be different?
There's always been three steps to this process. The first was getting the new maps. Check. The second was seeing if it actually worked and led to more competitive legislative contests.
Big check.
Check. It absolutely did. And so the third step is the real test, and that's what comes starting in January. Does the fact that more incumbents of both parties now have to look over their shoulder, not just for a primary challenge, but thinking about a general election under more evenly divided districts, does that force people to the table? Does that compel people to take action in a way that didn't used to be the incentive structure of state politics, or at least hasn't been for the last 14 years? For example, can we finally get to yes on Badger Care expansion, something 41 other states have done that would cover more people and bring more federal dollars to the state? A win-win if ever there was one. Or throw a third win in there and it'd be better for rural hospitals, right? So that's the third leg of this stool, or the third step in this process that we don't know yet, but we're going to find out soon.
Yes, we will, because again, the first order of business is working on a new state budget, and whether you will, again, just get the hubris from Republicans or if they will actually work with Governor Evers, because like it or not, I know we don't want to think about it, but the 2026 cycle you know, is going to be a big gubernatorial election. We don't know who the players are going to be, but it's going to, and it'll be the next election with these new legislative maps, with control of the state Senate possible. So there may be this reckoning starting this January. We can only hope.
Can I leave with one last thought? Just, hey, folks, however you're feeling, it's okay. Talk to your people. Check on your people. What a terrible, horrible reminder of the fact that mental health challenges do not discriminate this week with the loss of Jonathan Brostoff.
Yes.
Black, white, old, young, you know, gay, straight, everybody feels their feels. And we know that this is a time where a lot of people are feeling that way. So check on your people, take care of yourself, and get ready to get back in the fight.
Yeah, please do. Joe, that's a perfect way to end remembering our friend. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And when we come back, today's history lesson, a little Rolling Stones, a little Johnny Rivers, All & Oates, Tiffany. We've got Brittany Merlot's forecast on the way, our friends from Motherhood for Good, and Luke Mathers. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Favorite Rolling Stones song is off of Undercover, their 19th studio album. The Rolling Stones released that on this day in 1983. Welcome to today's history lesson on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, November 7th. Coming off an election here, I feel like I'm rubbing salt in the wound here. It was on this day in 2000 that Al Gore got more votes than George W. Bush. But Florida's final count was the big unknown, thanks to butterfly ballots and hanging chads and weeks of confusion and courts and controversy. And eventually W would be reckoned as the president, but from an election that was held this day 24 years ago. Happy 82nd birthday to Johnny Rivers. Joni Mitchell is 81 years old today, and it's the birthday of Ella Yelich O'Connor. You know her as Lord. She's 28 today, as Johnny Rivers sings to us.
I love Lord. She's great.
It's been a long time since I've had the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu.
Oh, I got my shot for that. Sorry, I vaxxed for the...
You're very wise. Let's see. It was on this day in 1981 that Hall & Oates got their third number one hit. They'd previously hit the top of the charts with Rich Girl and Kiss on My List. They hit the top spot for the third time with Private Eyes.
This time they're getting serious.
Yes. Just, you know, back when they liked each other and worked well together.
Yeah, so. Every time I hear Hall & Oates now, I'm like, come on, guys. You don't even have to play music. Just be friends.
Yeah, yep. On this day in 1987, a Tommy James remake made it to the charts from a 16-year-old named Tiffany. Hit number one with this song. And one historic birthday today would be Al Hurt, who was born this day in 1922, passed away in 1999. He was a trumpet player of some renown. His nickname was the Round Mound of Sound. And probably, I know, some of us have wanted to maybe appropriate that, you know. Yeah. But everyone at some point has heard his biggest hit on the radio was in 1963. With this little ditty by the name of Java.
There's an SNL sketch where Will Forte is a coach and he's dancing to fun music, And every time I hear this song, I just imagine him like.
It was it's like the little chicken dance of its time, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. This is International Stout Day. I think the beer, not what would lead you to be called the round mound of sound. This is Notary Public Day. Why'd you put your fist up like that? Yeah, Notary Publics represent.
They serve. Here's the thing about Notary Publics. As a former Notary Public, I want to get my hands back on a stamp. But as a former Notary Public, you don't need one until you need one.
Yes.
And then when you find one, you're like, I'm a Notary Public. Really? Can you? Yeah, of course I can. I can help you out.
Yes. Well, look, you make the case here. You said until you need one. What do you need one for nowadays? Everything is digital. Everything's on the internet. Who actually signs their name in cursive on anything? Are Notary Publics, do they still have value?
They still have value. There's still paperwork out there that needs to be live witness signed with a stamp and a little... You know, and if you're worth your salt, if you're a good notary, you make them swear the oath.
You made them swear the oath?
Yeah, I would make them raise their hand and say, do you swear this information you were putting forth is true and correct within your abilities?
Okay, yeah. That was fine. But then, I mean, were you really like pricking their finger with a pin and doing a blood oath as well? You didn't really do that.
We don't talk about that part.
Okay, this is Project Management Day in corporate world, and this is International Games Week, which I believe is, you know, more like the old fashioned games, board games, card games,
stick and a hoop.
Not wouldn't that be great? I was gonna say not video games. What a great video game that would be. Stick and a hoop. Which of course, you know, the way video games are would have dragons in it pretty soon, or the hoop turns into a python. I don't know what. But yeah, it's International Games Week. So we had a few comments here that we've got a little bit of time to talk about before we head into news and the second hour here. And some folks have been wondering about the legislative elections and what Robin Voss had to say, the Assembly Speaker, who will probably still be the Assembly Speaker, even though his majority shrunk from 64 to 54. They now have 54 of the 99 seats in the Assembly when all is said and done. And Voss said, now we get the chance to set the agenda for the rest of the state. Which is code again for, I've never worked with Governor Tony Evers before. Why would I start now? Well, here's the reason why. He liked to say that the reason the Democrats picked up 10 seats was through Democratic gerrymandering. That's what he has to call fairer maps that are more representative of the state. And so he's lost. Democrats picked up 10 seats in this election. And four or five seats in the state Senate because the maps were fairer and people wanted to reward Democrats who were going to work across the aisle with each other. So Robin Voss can be as pompous as he wants about saying he's still going to be the one to set the tone, but he's also the one that'll pay the price just 2 years from now. Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.